case, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from Deep Within. OSHA Region 3. EPA Region 3. And many other regions of the federal government. This is Safety Wars for Thursday, May 15th, 2025. My apologies to the whoever we kicked off the air on Safety FM. Here, very, very busy. Some stuff came up right before show time I had to. Okay, so bear with me. I am using a slightly different setup here. So what I end up having to do is a lot of post-production with the videos. And we're trying to avoid that. And I had the OBS system people on the line and everything else trying to resolve it, and they can't seem to resolve it either. So we ended up having to do something different here. Yes, we are broadcasting on Safety FM. How's everybody doing out there? I wish I could say it's a slow news day, but there's a lot of stuff going on out there. I mean, we have, I'm over at the Drudge Report here, right? Supremes argue birthright citizenship, right? Right, this is going to be one of the, and I'm not getting political here. I'm not doing that. I'm just reading this story here. Right, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments today in a case about the enforcement of President Donald Trump's birthright citizenship order. The main question for the justices was whether the lower courts overstepped their authority by blocking that January 20th order on a nationwide basis. Trump looks to win. This is all from CNN. Five of the six conservative justices seem to be open to backing the president, saying lower courts have gone too far on the use of nationwide injunctions. They also didn't seem ready to endorse a departure from the longstanding precedent from the Supreme Court upholding birthright citizenship. And what is birthright citizenship? For more than a century, courts have understood the text of the 14th Amendment to guarantee all persons born or naturalized in the United States to be U.S. citizens, no matter the immigration status of their parents. So, we'll see how this works out here. I mean, people are going to be pissed no matter what. No matter how this goes down. Right? And what do I say? Try, if you don't like the law, change the law. It's real simple, folks. Right? Don't get violent, don't get screaming, don't get yelling, don't get anything else. Just, change the law. I really don't know how else to talk about that. So we're going to go into, we're going to concentrate on respirable crystalline silica here tonight. Right? That's going to be main force of our program. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into some news and some other stuff you haven't heard in a while. We're getting better organized, better production value here. That's with the new way that we're doing things. Let's see how it works out for everybody.
To avoid hefty OSHA fines and keep your team safe, let's dive into the General Duty Clause. The General Duty Clause, Section 5, A1 of the OSHA Act of 1970, is a catch-all rule to cover unregulated hazards. Employers must keep workplaces free from recognized dangers that could cause death or serious harm. For OSHA to cite you under the General Duty Clause, they must prove the following four things. 1. The employer failed to render its workplace free of a hazard. 2. An employee was exposed to that hazard. 3. That hazard was causing or likely to cause death or serious physical harm. And 4. feasible means exist to free the workplace of the hazard. Employees aren't off the hook either. Section 5B mandates they follow all safety standards. Both employers and employees must work together to maintain a safe work environment. Examples: think lifting above shoulder height repeatedly, or working without proper support. Stay proactive, monitor work areas, apply the four-part test, and you'll prevent those nasty citations and keep everyone safe. Need help? And more information. Contact Jim Pozel and the Safety Wars team to help you prevent workplace incidents. Conduct safety audits and training. Contact the Safety Wars team at jim@safetywars.com or 845-269-5772. Visit us on the web at www.safetywars.com. Let's build a safer workplace together. Want to avoid hefty ocean?
Yeah, so anyway, that's what's going on. No, I wanted to put that in there because a lot of times we talk about these things off of OSHA and they're like, Jim, you got to explain the general duty clause. So that's a little video. It's actually a video, but I grabbed the audio, threw it in here. As we go along, we're going to be, like I said, right, when I last time I spoke to Jay Allen, I said, look, we got to retool a little bit and go from there. So a U.S. Department of Labor follow-up inspection found that a company in Atlanta, and again, it's not our, no, if I mention a company's name, it's by purely by accident. And why don't I share this screen so the people on the video end see this? All right. Stone product manufacturer Marietta had failed to administer hearing conservation and respiratory protection programs identified previously on an April 2024 safety and health inspection. 5 months after the initial inspection, the department's OSHA cited the company with 2 repeat violations and 13 serious violations for not providing workplace protections for employees exposed to hazards such as silica dust and occupational related noise. The company will pay $120,000 in penalties, take action to correct the hazardous conditions, and put steps in place to prevent future occurrence. All right, so let's look at that. Now, under the previous administration, they didn't include everything in there. Right now, you got to run and do the, they give you the accident report. And instead, you have to do the establishment report, or the establishment search. So, here we have the company, this was right in 11-9-2024, they had, that's what the, this was, it was the 14 violations, but they also had a situation going on in November 2023. Now, I'm going to say this, right, so in 2024 incident, and was a follow-up. So, and again, I'm not here, it can be a little bit of insight. I don't know if this is the official policy of OSHA, but this is what happens. If you have a problem and you don't pay, and you pay the bill, and whenever you pay the bill, whatever, at the end of the process, they come back, especially if you're not so nice and not cooperative, they come back later on. And they do follow-up, right? That's what they end up doing. They do end up doing a follow-up. I'm not exactly sure what the policy is here on that, but basically that's what I noticed was that they do follow-up. Now I've heard of them doing follow-up a couple of years later, right, with certain things. So it's not a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not an, unheard of, type thing. Okay. So, boom. All right, let's go back to that. All right. So, all right, let's do the initial in 2023. So the initial penalty was $4,839, and it looks to me, and I was not involved in this case, it looks to me that they essentially argued. They paid the bill because there was no reduction on here. I don't know what the circumstances were. Now, pardon me. Now, why would they just pay the bill? A lot of reasons why. One of them could be what's the word I'm looking for? I'm searching for words all day here, right? One of the reasons is that they can say, look, $4,800, we'll just pay the bill. Another thing is, hey, we don't want to piss these people off, right? Another thing is that they missed the deadline, a 15-day deadline. Any of those reasons could be a reason that they just, the bill wasn't talked down. They didn't know what they were doing with that. I've had customers do that, and then there's always follow-up with that in a short period of time. Like we had less than a year here, follow-up, the next follow-up. But anyway, that's what's my suggestion going to be? Always, always, always protest. Always, always appeal. Always do that. And of course, get an attorney that knows what the hell they're doing. Because I tell you what, they get these slip and fall attorneys a lot of times. These slip and fall attorneys, they don't know anything about OSHA. And then they go and try to negotiate, and you become their learning experience for dealing with a regulatory agency. I've tried not to do that, with that. And at certain times, I mean, you don't learn on other people's dime, if you know what I mean. That's a little bit ballsy. I mean, things come out of left field sometimes. Things get, you're like unexpected. That happens, right, with these, especially if you have a client that's not forward with you. I was talking to a colleague today, and he was telling me a story where everybody lied to the OSHA inspector. Well, if I could tell you, lying to a federal agent, not a good idea. Really not a good idea. And now they've got themselves a little bit of pickle here. Just the way it is. So let's go back here. Let's see what this is. So we have four violations here. So right off the bat, we have HAZCOM, we have forklift, we have hearing, and we have respiratory protection. They only cited them, on four, but they fined them on one. So they did not have a written respiratory protection program that included provisions of 29 CFR 1910-134 C1IX, C1I Roman numeral 9, with 1 through 9. With the work site specific procedures, right, was not established and implemented for the required respiratory use. So in the production area, on or about November 2nd, 2023, at a times fire, the employer exposed employees to respiratory hazards, and that a written respiratory protection program was not developed and implemented for employees that were required to wear respirators, performing stone cutting and grinding. So this has been one of the focus areas of OSHA for the last several years has been this. I know somebody who owns a tile business where they cut tiles incidentally for a customer every once in a while. OSHA visited them. They're like, well, where's your tile stuff? Where's your tile cutting machine? Well, it's right there, and it's like a little tiny tabletop thing where they could cut one tile at a time. It's like, that's it? Yeah. Oh, we don't know how to, we don't know why you're on our list. I don't know. And here we have a 1910.095 for noise. So, the employer did not administer a continuing effective hearing conservation program as described in the regulations when employee noise exposure is equal or exceed an 8-hour time-weighted average sound level of 85 decibels on a measured on an A scale, or equivalently a dose of 50%. Production on or about January 18, 2024, and at times fire, the employer exposed employees to noise hazards and that a fabricator tasked with cutting stone was exposed to high noise at an 8-hour TWA of 94.7 decibels. This means that OSHA actually, from what way I'm looking at this, they actually went in and did the sampling themselves. What would the smart thing to have done? We're not talking hindsight being 2020 here, right? And counterfactual arguments really are not useful. Like, in other words, what you should have done was this. Okay, we know, but this is not what they did. But for reference for all our listeners here, if OSHA shows up and they mention, and I'm going to imagine that they mention noise, you immediately go out and get somebody like me or other qualified individual to do noise monitoring. Here, be proactive, right? Employer exposed employees to noise hazards, and no, more 93.6, blah, 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 blah. They did not get cited on that. Now, I did not look in depth into the follow-up thing, but this might have been one of the situations where they did a free noise assessment, essentially, for them. They cited them for it, but now they go back and there might be a repeat violation on that. So stay tuned for a minute. And this is, you know, forklifts, right? The employer did not certify that each operator has been trained and evaluated as required by this paragraph. A. Production, on or about, blah, 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 and at times are the employer exposed employees who struck by hazards, and that the employer did not certify that forklift operators were trained and evaluated when they were required to move stone slabs throughout the workplace. Again, issue. And here we have something with HAZCOM. I'm going to say it's going to be a boom. They know effective train information and training on hazardous chemicals. So in other words, the employer went through and said to employees, what hazardous chemicals are in your workplace? And they said, I don't know. And they did not know. Right? I'm not going to fault the employee here. The employee likely did not know what the hazards were in their workplace. So one of the things that I do is at the end of a training class, I have a summary sheet I hand out. And you've been told, blah, 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 blah. These are the chemicals, this is what you need to do, blah, blah, blah. Now, if you're working with mercury or similar materials that are odorless and are, for a lot of people, ubiquitous. So one of the big things we always hear about mercury is this. I used to use mercury to shine pennies, and I don't have a problem. So therefore, it's okay for everybody else who's not shining pennies, who's using mercury in an industrial situation, for them not to get any of this, do anything, right? Again, mercury's hazardous. I mean, no. So they're using like this much mercury, a little tiny drop, right? Versus a vat. Well, it's not the same. Even using that little bit of mercury is a problem. Believe me, that could be a huge problem there. Don't do it. And then, that's often what happens in these cases is, with this. So what will you do on a mercury job? On a mercury job, you say, one, mercury is odorless, period. Number two, the only way you can detect mercury is this way, with a mercury vapor analyzer, right? Number three, this is what you need to wear when you are with mercury, write that out. And you go all the way down. And you have that in initial every line. Because this is what happens. Right? Especially if you're a third party. You got to wear your respirator. Why? I can't smell it. I can't smell mercury. Mercury is not a problem. Right? And then what happens is, Mercury's odorless. Well, you never told me that. Here's a piece of paper. Right here. It says Mercury's odorless. You signed it. You were told that. Multiple times. So then you're able to go to the supervisor. This guy was not wearing a respirator when he was supposed to be wearing a respirator. Says it in a site-specific plan. This was the hazardous waste site I was on. We had the meeting on Monday, and it's now Tuesday, that states all of this. It's in English, and it's in the language that he speaks. Explain to me what you're going to do about it. And you know, maybe you don't want to add it to me. Say, hey, come on, what are you going to do about it? Well, if this guy cannot understand simple instructions, perhaps he can't do anything else either. He's not following your instructions on anything else. What do you think of that? Right? Again, human and organizational performance does not mean human resources goes away. Because you have to go and you have to enforce rules. And in this case, people are just ignoring rules. Now, other approach that you could use, and I use it, this one. Who told you not to wear a respirator? What idea, what led you to believe that it was okay not to wear a respirator? Just ask him the question, because now, because all of these decisions do not happen in a vacuum. They happen with a lot of other stuff going on in that situation, right? So there, nothing happens in a vacuum on any of these jobs. So, oh, Jim, what do you mean nothing happens in a vacuum? Nothing happens in a vacuum. Real simple. Right? Workers make decisions based on what makes sense at the time. So you want to find out what? Why did that make sense at the time for the person not to wear the respirator? In that case that I described to you, and this was 30 years ago, in that case, what it was the... He didn't believe me. Well, I don't believe you. Sorry. Mercury, no. And it's like, dude, here's and then the MSDS. Do the MSDS for this. But this is often what happens here with us. So getting back to our subject at hand, right? So often what happens, and this happens, an OSHA inspector might go up to your employee and say, why are you wearing respirators? And if they give the I don't know thing, well, guess what? You had better make damn sure you have it in writing that you told them. Especially if you're a third-party person, especially if you're a trainer. This is what the advantage is of going into a work area and doing a safety audit prior to doing a safety class. Very, you know. Okay, so they have 14 violations here. They did not update this, but this ended up into negotiated downward, whatever this comes down to. They're saying 100, what was the original press release? $120,000 in penalties. So all of this here in this column, in the middle, current penalty, that's what it was negotiated down to. And they were given abatement dates. Now, I'm going to tell the company, a free safety advice. They're going to come back somewhere around, it's a holiday weekend, I think July 2nd is on a Wednesday. Don't quote me on that. They're going to be back probably the following Monday. And they'll probably do an audit then, just to let you know, for follow-up, right? Because this is follow-up. So now we have a 1910.095 here, violation, that's number one. Employer did not establish or maintain an audiometric testing program. After OSHA did an audiometric, did noise survey for them. This is what this should say. I don't know what's going on. You tell me what's going on. There. So the initial penalty was $11,585. They settled it for $7,170. Here we have for number two. Here we have occupational noise exposure. The employer did not train. So not only did they not, again, they said, oh, fuck it, $4,800. Said, ah, this is what it sounds like to me. We'll just pay it and they'll go away. Well, guess what? They came back. Again, well, another one. What could have prevented this type of situation? Maybe actually attending an OSHA outreach course, which we do here, 845-269-5772. You know, again, no training, right? That was $11,585 negotiated downward. Now we have the third violation here. Boom, boom, boom. The employer did not provide a medical evaluation to determine the employee's ability to use a respirator. I got to do a respirator course here. One of these days, a respirator night. Before the employee was fit tested or required to use a respirator. On or about October 7, 2024, at times prior, the employer exposed employees to respiratory hazards and that a medical evaluation was not provided for employees that were required to use a N95 respirator. I won't mention anything when tasked with stone cutting or grinding. Now we, so basically you go in the 1910-134 standard, there's a questionnaire there, and I believe it's the first 8 questions in there that if you mention and you say yes or no, depending on what the question is, that necessitates more questions and more evaluations legally. How much does one of these go for? So being that you're dealing with respirable crystalline silica here, yeah, probably requires a lot more evaluation, right? With that, might include a chest X-ray or something along those lines with that, and other testing with that. But again, let's talk about my mother-in-law's funeral. Talk about Nancy Griggs's funeral. Here we have, bunch, right? During COVID, couldn't get pallbearers, so we had to use the supply pallbearers from the funeral home. Not a problem. We couldn't get, you know, COVID, everybody's old, everything else. So we wouldn't have that problem today. Anyway, we they're carrying her out the front of the church. The cemetery is on the other end of the parking lot. And one of the, during COVID, they got to wear a mask. Dude puts on a mask and has some type of a seizure. Didn't look unhealthy or anything. Looked reasonably healthy. Dude has a seizure. Now, I know on paper, that could happen. I know on paper that could happen. We all know that. However, to actually see it happen on paper, see it happen in real life, wow. So this is why you have a medical evaluation with this. With that. Okay, number 4. Another 1910-134 violation. Again, they're getting whacked for $7,530 for all these. Employees using tight-fitting respirators were not fit tested prior to initial use of the respirator. There's another one. Fit testing. That's another requirement of respiratory protection is fit testing. Now, something I was talking about this with somebody yesterday about respirator fit testing, when specifically qualitative. So let's say you're using the irritant smoke, or you're using the some type of saccharin or something like that. Prior to the fit tests, you're supposed to test the person to make sure that they can smell saccharin. The other one is isoamyl acetate, a.k.a. banana oil. You're supposed to verify that they can smell it, right? I don't think you're supposed to use isoamyl acetate for actual fit testing. I can't remember anyone doing about saccharin, yeah. And irritant smoke. Since COVID, one of my family members has lost their sense of smell. This is and there's a lot of people with who have lost their sense of smell and taste before COVID. I run into about one a week right? Well, when I'm doing actively doing a lot of training here, but since COVID, it's gone up. Now, that's the other thing is this. We had a bunch of people at our projects, one project in particular, and all of them had drug problems with illicit drugs. And they all went to, they went to rehab. They were good. They were straight. We have an active drug testing program. They were all clean. But one of the things, specifically with crack cocaine and methamphetamine, a lot of people lose their cough reflex with that. My experience, I'm not a medical guy. I'm just telling you my personal peer-to-peer experience, dude on the radio, dude on YouTube experience here. So now, what kind of fit tests do you have to have? You have to have a quantitative where they actually hook you up to a machine that goes in, gives you a number less than or greater than 500, 500, you're good, less than 500, no good. And you're able to do that. You can't do a qualitative fit test on that. So a little bit, so you need fit testing there. And to get fit tested, you have to have medical clearance. Right? Do you have to? Yeah, I don't know, it's a gray area, but I do. Why do I do it? In case you run into a situation where they drop Nancy Griggs on the coffin on the steps of the church. You know, talk about a weird situation. Wow. I know nobody believes you on that one, right? But I was there, believe me. Here you have 1910-134K, paragraph K. Can they whack them again with all these 7,530? No training. Wow. Now, probably, I mean, they said, well, they're thinking might have been. Well, it was voluntary use. Not my business. I don't want to wear it. Not my business. It's voluntary use. Therefore, I don't have to do training. Then, so along with this, and I haven't looked at the other nine violations here, but I'm going to bet, I'm going to suspect that they didn't do air sampling either here. So let's see what how this looks like. Here we have 5,000 and failure to abate, right? Failure to abate history. Okay, no, that's it. Right. So here you go. The employer did not ensure that no employee was exposed to an airborne concentration of respirable crystalline spherical silica in excess of 50 grams per meter cubed. I think that's a misprint on there. Micrograms, it should be. Calculated as an 8-hour TWA. On or about, yeah, that's micro. Man, that's one hell of a friggin' misprint there, right? On or about November 19, 2024, at times fired, the employer exposed employees to respiratory hazards in that the polisher tasked with a polishing stone countertops was exposed to respirable crystalline silica at an 8-hour TWA of 126.3 micrograms per meter cubed. The level exceeded permissible exposure limit for respirable crystalline silica at 50 micrograms per meter cubed. The exposure was derived from the sample collected for a 456-minute sampling period going on. So OSHA did an exposure assessment there. I don't know. They did a noise survey. They did an exposure assessment. And you're still... Right? Again, they came up the first time that was what could have happened to... Well, hey, oh, yeah, we hired a certified safety professional. We got everything here, blah, blah, blah. Change our corporate culture. I mean, I don't know who the hell is making these decisions. So we have a whole bunch under respirable crystalline silica standard. We have DO1. The employer did not assess the exposure of each employee. And it mentions all different types of things that I'm assuming OSHA did here. Here we have another one. The employer did not demarcate regulated areas for an exclusion zone. right? Restful crystalline silica exclusion zone. Here we have another one, 1910-1053. Regulated area, right? So, 75, another regulated area. And we have another one. The employer did not post signs at all entrances to regulated areas. Again, they were able to reduce these, right? Here. I think when they came in with like a big freaking, all this fines, I think they went out and got an attorney. I would. The employer did not post signs at all entrances or regular areas that barrelage and dangerous respiratory crystalline silica may cause cancer, causes damage to lungs, wear respiratory protection. And here we have another one. Here, let's click here. No engineering work practice controls for respirable crystalline silica. And, again, they did. Somebody there sampling must have been OSHA. Now, here we go into the last one here, right? The employer did not make medical surveillance available at no cost to the employee at a reasonable time and place for each employee was occupationally exposed to respirable crystalline silica at or above the actual level for 30 or more days per year. Again, $11,585 initial, and then it got reduced down to $7,530. Now, the next two are repeat violations of the noise standard here. And they have to say when, right? The employer did not administer a continuing effective hearing conservation program. Now, what might have happened, and where I see mistakes happen often, is that people go over to the construction standard, right? Where they miss it. And in the construction standard, significantly different differences in the regulation. Now we have what's called the regulation over here, and then we have the practice or the benchmark. I'm going to tell you what I recommend always as a hearing exam. Especially in the construction industry, you hire someone, send them out for audiometric testing. Why do we do audiometric testing? How many of the shipyard industry too, especially for industrial painters? Because most of these guys, and it's usually men, don't wear hearing protection and it's not enforced. So now you have somebody coming in who's going to claim that they got they're going to claim a workers' comp situation or something like that because they came in with no hearing. You can't document that beforehand. You got to love it. You got to love it. We have this with the guys, a colleague of mine and I were talking where you have guys out there putting in noise-canceling headphones that they bought at a box store or off the internet. No noise reduction rating. Oh, they're noise canceling. They're good. So for example, I wear these headphones, right? And in the project that I'm on now, you're not allowed to use the speakers on your computer. Everything has to be is close quarters. Everything's got to be headphones, even for a phone call, right? No speaker phones. Everything's got to be in headphones for everything. So, way it is. Pain in the neck, but the way it, and this is like the only time I've ever worn headphones more now than ever here. But even with these, I have the volume turned all the way down here where I can barely hear it, just enough to do the show. People don't do that. I don't know, maybe that was part of the situation here. Boom, boom, boom. Again, that was a repeat violation. They whacked him for a lot more. $15,000 was the final settlement. But they had an option of, like, a lot more. Forget what it was. No, for a boatload more on that. Right? Forget offhand. It's 8 o'clock at night. I've been up since 4:30. Give me a break. Right? And they did not have a written respiratory protection program. That was the other thing. That was a repeat violation. Got him for $15,000. So that's what the story is on respirable crystalline silica. Now, in the press release, it has some stuff here. Here you have a fact sheet on respirable crystalline silica. Here, let's share the screen. I got to make this a... Yeah, here we go. Right, and this is the notes. So let's say you're an outreach trainer and you're using this as a topic. This might be a... something to use in your training materials, right? So the standard requires to determine the amount of respirable crystalline silica, actual level of 25 micrograms per meter cubed, I was right on that, and pre-EL of 50 micrograms per meter cubed. So at an action level, you have to do something, and at the PEL, you definitely got to do something. Limit access to areas where workers to be exposed above the PEL, use dust control, establish and implement a respiratory protection standard program. Examples for dust control, you have wet methods, local exhaust ventilation, enclosures that isolate the work processes for the worker, medical surveillance, and here they have hydraulic fracturing operations. The oil and gas industry must implement dust control measures also. What are employees required to comply, right? This is when they brought this out. What is respirable crystalline silica? Crystalline silica is a common mineral that is found in materials such as stone, artificial stone, and sand. When workers cut, grind, or drill materials that contain crystalline silica or use industrial sand, they can be exposed to very small silica dust particles. These tiny particles, known as respirable particles, can travel deep into workers' lungs and cause silicosis, an incurable and sometimes deadly lung disease. Respirable crystalline silica also causes lung cancer. Other potentially debilitating respiratory diseases, such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and kidney disease. In most cases, these diseases occur after years of exposure to respirable crystalline silica. This is, again, why is it important to comply with the regulation? And not only, right, let's talk, face it. Not only are we talking about, protecting the worker, right? Of course, we want to protect the worker. That's the primary thing, is to protect the worker. Always protect the worker. You have a right to a safe and healthful workplace free of recognized hazards. Real simple, general duty clause. We had a little video there, a little audio. So, very important. But also what's important is to protect your employer, protect your client. How do you protect your client? If you obey the rules and you obey the regulations and you do above and beyond the regulations using benchmarks, industry standards, anything like that, if you do all of that, you're protecting the worker, you're protecting your client, protecting the GC, general contractor, or the CMs, construction management firm, anything like that, protecting everybody. Why? Are you, you're documenting what the problems are prior to the start of work and after work, at the end of employment, and periodically as appropriate in there. So you don't get stuck with other people's problems. So for example, you come in and, you hire somebody, and then, hey, you already have occupational hearing loss, not caused by us. At the beginning, you have a restriction against working at a hazardous waste site that contains heavy metals, mercury, lead, zinc, that sort of chromium, that sort of thing. Well, guess what? Now, if you don't do that, you have them work at the site, then they're going to stick you with the bill. Stick you with the liability. Now, you might have a workers' comp situation here. I got that fat dad's job. I'd have that bad job. Real messy situation for a safety professional and an attorney to get out of, as well as the employer, to explain that. Last time we had a situation, we had to get a toxicologist involved here. So, anyway, playing with things, right? That's what I got. So, let's go to commercial break. And just because we're going to have a song on respiratory protection here.
Put that mask on tight, my friend. Breathing easy till the end. Dust and fumes won't take you down. Stay protected, keep your crown. Filters on like bombing now. Breathing clear, I make a vow. 29 CFR is the code. In this gear we hit the road.
And that was Inhale Safety by Safety Warrior. So here we have EPA emphasizes transformative nature of cleanups and job training during Brownfields Week. This was over in San Juan, Puerto Rico, where Regional Administrator Michael Martucci, hey man, that guy gets all around, man. Last week he was traveling, this week he's traveling. And he went to the annual Caribbean Brownfields Week, hosted by EPA and EPA hosts events across Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. The Brownfields program changes communities and changes lives, said EPA Regional Administrator Michael Bartucci. We call on local leaders, municipalities, and nonprofit organizations to join us in turning contaminated and abandoned places into spaces of opportunity and growth. During this week, the EPA and its partners train and advise entities interested in applying for funding under EPA's Brownfields program. And the events help promote funding and technical assistance and everything else. So, again, right? Just because they're Republicans doesn't mean that they don't care about environmental cleanups. Right? I have to say that. Because you hear from the other, right, and it's all programming and rhetoric and hyperbole and every other part of speech out there that you want to talk about. Again, compliance assistance, rather than compliance enforcement. So we're going to conclude our program, and, we will see you, God willing, tomorrow. It's Thursday, May 16th. I might be able to be on the air tomorrow. We will see. If not, hopefully this weekend. And good night. We'll see you. If not, I'll see you Monday. And for Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel. And, we'll go from there. All right. See you, everybody. Let's see. Do I have the outro? Yeah, I think I got to do it on here.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
Hold on. Do-do-do.
I need the heat to get me rolling, burning bright like morning's golden. Fuel me up with dreams I'm holding. Spark the air, let's get it going. Oxygen fills my lungs, I'm breathing. Every whisper feels like fleeting. Fire stands with no retreating. Hold me tight, let's chase this feeling. With heat and fuel and air we soar. Flames ignite, can't ask for more. In the night we'll start a war. Dance until our feet are sore. Chemical magic in the night. Chain reaction takes its flight. Lose control but feel so right. Together we ignite the light. Break the links, the fire fades. Shadowlands and silent shades. Separate, we lose the blaze. Lost within the smoky haze. With heat and fuel and air we soar. Flames ignite, can't ask for more. Shadowlands and silent shades. Separate, we lose the blaze. Lost within the smoky haze. With heat.